Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're going to be reading a story called A Borrowed Life. It's from a collection of stories called 54 Sleepless Nights, written by Tobias Wade. I really hope you enjoy this story, and if you do, consider purchasing yourself a copy of this book to show support to him for letting me read all of these wonderful stories. With that said, links will be in the description of this video and podcast episode, so let's get started. How do you know if you've wasted your life? I think it's the moment you realize that as soon as you're gone, there will be nothing left in the world to show that you existed at all. I was 47 when I realized this. No kids, no great works or influences. I have chronic pain and fatigue and never even traveled outside the country. I've just existed, staying alive one day to the next more out of fear of the unknown than any great love of life. I've found amusements in fleeting pleasures, but nothing transformational or awe-inspiring. I've worked odd jobs to cover what disability doesn't, but I've created no lasting value that hasn't already been forgotten by my employers or clients. I've accomplished nothing that anyone else could have done just as well, probably better. It seems pretty bleak now, but I know it's only going to get worse. When I'm really old and looking back for nostalgia, I'm going to have trouble finding anything to hold on to. No truly passionate affairs, no great pride, not even the depth and meaning of any great loss. Year by year, I'll just grow more bitter, resentful of everyone else out living their lives, when I know I've squandered mine 1 hour at a time. I explained all this to my neighbor Boris, a handsome, gangy fellow with shaggy, blonde hair. I hadn't intended to be so honest about my life. We were sitting in his yard having a few drinks by his barbecue, and he was talking about his kids, and suddenly it all came pouring out of me. I felt pretty embarrassed and couldn't even look him in the face after that. I just stared down at my beer can, clenched in my fist, feeling his eyes on me and wondering whether it was pity or something else. "I hope you've never felt that way," I said at last. It was a lie. What I really hoped was that I wasn't the only one who did. No, never," Boris said, running a hand through his thick hair. "I'm still in love with my wife. I've got great kids and I know they're going to visit me when I'm old. They'll go on doing good things long after I'm gone, and you know, I've done a lot of traveling when I was younger."
"Cool. Wouldn't know what that is like," I said, gripping my beer a little tighter.
Boris stood up and clapped me on the shoulder. "You hold tight, though. I think I've got something that will help." He went inside his house, leaving me to gloomily melt into my chair and wish I hadn't said anything. When he came back, he had a large wooden box with dozens of little doors around the perimeter. I half hope he collected exotic drugs or something, anything to make me feel more alive. Boris smiled kindly down at me, handing me the box before settling back into his own chair. "You can pour it if you want, just make sure to give it back when you're done. It's very important to me." There were handwritten labels above each of the little doors, so small I had to bring the box up to my face to read what was inside. Mexico, wedding, father's funeral, firstborn. I slowly turned the box around, seeing each label apparently describing an event in Boris's life. "What are these, like souvenirs?" I asked. Boris chuckled and nodded. "Something like that. Wait until you get home to open them, and tell me if that's not what you're looking for." Confused but curious, I thanked him, and took the wooden box home with me. I don't know why I felt compelled to close all the curtains and lock the door before settling down with the box on my living room floor. Holding the thing just felt like a secret, though, and when I was alone with it, I even imagined the faintest of whispers leaking out from the little doors. Pale blue smoke curled out from the first door I opened, the one labeled Mexico. I took the tiny drawer all the way out of the box, disappointed that it was empty but for the smoke. I must have accidentally inhaled some of it while I was inspecting it, though, because I immediately began to feel lightheaded and absent, like I was drifting off to sleep. The next thing I knew, I was on the beach feeling the warm sun on my shoulders, only they weren't my shoulders at all, because I didn't have a snake tattoo winding down my arm. From the wet sand beneath my toes to the lapping waves against my feet, it really felt like my body was moving on its own without the least input or control from my mind. I decided that I must be living through Boris's memory, seeing and feeling exactly what he must have experienced that day. Then, I felt a warm pressure around my waist and felt myself turning to see Boris's wife embracing me from behind. She wasn't an unattractive woman.
with long brown hair wet and plastered against a body that was much younger than the version of her I knew. But there was so much in her laughing eyes than I had ever felt from looking at her. I'm going to remember this feeling forever, I heard myself say with Boris's voice. And more than that, I felt it too. That love and devotion so much deeper than anything I've ever felt in my own life. I wasn't just seeing the beach and feeling her body against me. I was living through all the years he'd wanted her before this moment, and all the life that lay in store for them ahead. I woke up dazed and gasping on the floor of my living room. The blue smoke had dissipated into the air, and it was just me clutching the empty wooden drawer. I was overwhelmed with despair for the loss and jealousy I felt, not having lived so truly myself. I didn't stop to think before ripping open the next box, and the one after that, as soon as the smoke had cleared. One day, one fragment of life, one precious moment at a time, I lived through these experiences that were so much more real than my own. I even enjoyed the painful ones, because in the back of my mind, I always knew it wasn't really me who was suffering, and that the depth of the experience made all the other triumphs that much sweeter. It was deep into the night, when I'd finally opened the last door and my head began to clear. I lay there on the floor for a long time trying to catch my breath and remember which memories were my own and which were his. I don't know why Boris gave me that box. It wasn't to make me feel better. He might have thought I'd feel empathy toward him after having lived through his life so vividly, but I'd never hated anyone so much in my life. How dare he taunt me like that, showing me what happiness was without any means to achieve my own. I even seethed over how freely he'd given me the box, a sign of his conceit and shamelessness over what should have been his most private secrets. Panting from my bitterness and anger, I saw my own breath form clouds like frost in the air. Horrified and enthralled, I watched the dark clouds pour from my lungs, swirling down to fill the open doors below. I don't know what experiences from my own life were draining into that box, but I didn't move away or try to stop it. Instead, I deliberately focused on every pain, every humiliation, every despair that I've ever encountered. Let him taste my resentment toward him. Let him choke on my hatred. I had nothing to hide. The more I focused on my suffering, the thicker the black smoke poured from my lungs. I didn't even stop when I coughed and hacked through the exertion. Not until every drawer throbbed and boiled with the greasy darkness like oil staining the air. I don't know what I was expecting to happen when I gave him back the box. Some tortured fantasy hoped that he would suffocate in my torment, forgetting himself as I had done when I breathed in his happiness. Somehow I thought these thoughts would destroy him, as they had me over my years, and that with him gone I could take his place. His wife, his children, I loved them more deeply than my own family after having lived through him. I wanted them, and I would make them mine, although I didn't know how. But my obsession over my own misery so filled my thoughts that night that I didn't allow myself to think too closely. It was all I could do to just stay alive until the morning when I brought the box back to his door. What was it like? Did you feel like you went on a vacation? He asked blearily into the morning light. He stood in the door in his underwear, not even bothering to dress himself after I had already seen him so intimately. His smugness, his self-assurance, I abhorred it all. To hell and back, I told him. I didn't wait for him to discover my gift on his own. I pushed my way inside, flinging open every single door as I went. Even a life filled with pain might be endured, so long as there is space for healing between the incidents. But here, with one hurt after the next all thrown in together, the room immediately became intoxicated with the roiling black smoke. An entire lifetime's worth of injustice and torment, all experienced simultaneously. Boris looked surprised and confused at first, but within seconds he had fallen to his knees and was gagging for air. I held the box upside down over his head, letting the black waves roll over him. Then I pressed the box down on top of him when he collapsed to the ground. I heard a scream, clear and pure, cutting through the darkness of my mind. Boris's wife standing on the stairs, but it wasn't just a woman I knew, not just a neighbor. When she screamed, it was my love who suffered. And it cut me more deeply than my own pain ever had. I saw her as I had on the beach, on her wedding day, and every passionate night I had experienced from Boris's memories. For that brief moment when her scream cut through the noise, I was aware of what I was doing. Suddenly I was horrified by my raw emotions, which flooded the whitewashed walls. Be still, my love, I began, cutting myself off as the horrible realization dawned that she barely knew me despite my love for her. I wrenched the box away from Boris, still billowing with smoke, and I fled. Straight out the door, box clutched to my chest, acrid smoke souring the air as I went. Now that the doors were closed, now that the smoke has stopped, my head has begun to clear again. I won't be able to erase the memories of that darkness, but I do plan to return the box and apologize one day. One day, but not yet. Not until I've learned how to fill those doors with happiness, as he has done. Not to erase the pain, but to give it meaning, as that which taught me to start again. And that's the end of the story. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, let me know in the comments. Like the video, subscribe for more, you know, do the things that let YouTube know that these stories and my sultry voice are good for YouTube. You know what I'm saying? Well, with all that said, I really appreciate you for listening. Thank you for putting up with me. If you'd like to, come join our Discord. Come say hello. And if you'd like to support the channel more, consider becoming a patron. I greatly appreciate all of you. If you are listening and you are a patron, thank you for becoming one. Thank you for your support. I really do appreciate it. And if you're anywhere else, well, I don't know what you can do, but hey, I appreciate you being here. And we'll see you in the next one.